Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Good afternoon, everybody, on a Monday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, live from Browns headquarters in Berea. Jim Donovan alongside Michael Regei today, Vic and Nathan off today. And welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. As we get set and the countdown is on now, Michael, to training camp. July 26th is the first day that the Browns will be out on the practice field. We're getting all the specifics on training camps coming to form right now. Joel Bitonio has signed his contract.
Yeah.
Justin Gilbert is the only one left. The players today, most of the rookies are out at Cedar Point.
How about that?
Enjoying a beautiful Monday out at Cedar Point.
Yeah, Jimmy, great to be with you.
Absolutely.
We're going to have a lot of fun for the next couple of days. We need all of you guys as well. So you know how to jump on board and tweet at the show, at Browns Daily, or at yours truly, and at Jason Gibbs. We can get it out there that way. But, Jimmy, you mentioned about family day and training camp.
Yep.
And I found this rather intriguing, the way the Browns are going about this, because you and I go back to the days when we came to town in the 80s out at Lakeland Community College.
Yeah,
remember that?
Absolutely.
So this is going to take on that kind of collegiate atmosphere feel. Of course, Browns team president Alex Shiner was on the show last week and kind of laid it all out. But, Jimmy, this is going to give fans kind of choices now and decisions to be able to, how to go see the Browns during training camp.
Yeah, absolutely. Our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day. Let's throw that out there. Training camp. And you're right, Michael. I remember those days out at Lakeland, and specifically the Kozar years.
Yeah.
And I can compare the Manziel arrival a little bit to when Bernie arrived coming out of the University of Miami. And, of course, the big, big media crush there, because here was the star of the Miami Hurricanes, national champions, coming here saying he wanted to play here, and of course he was from here. Now the Manziel situation is going to be even bigger probably because there's much more media around nowadays than there was at that time. But I used to really enjoy the Lakeland scene. I loved it. The practice fields were sprawling. In fact, I don't know if you remember this, but when Marty had them going out there, and early on a Sunday afternoon, their first weekend of training camp, he would always have the Oklahoma drill.
That's right.
The Nutcracker drill.
In front of crowds.
In front of big crowds.
Yes.
So there was a Sunday afternoon, and this was during the Kozar year when they were expected to be really, really good and one of the top teams in the AFC. And the word got out that on the afternoon practice, on that first Sunday afternoon, they would have the Nutcracker drill, and the crowd could come out on the field. Remember, you could come out on the field for that one-on-one hit. And the Browns that afternoon had 10,000 out at Lakeland. And down 90, Michael, the Indians played the Blue Jays in front of 6,000 that afternoon on a
Sunday
afternoon.
That?
Now, that was when it was really cooking.
That might have been 86.
Yeah, that was it. Exactly.
I think 86. And I do recall that. And you're right. Just an expansive crowd that day. So this kind of feel might be something that we don't know. We don't know if Mike Pettine is going to bring out Oklahomas or Nutcrackers. Jimmy and I haven't been privy to that information yet. But I do think that the Browns are expanding, at least for this, a little bit more regionally, because we know what this fan base consists of, and not just the state of Ohio, but throughout all reaches. So it's going to give opportunity for fans to come and see this football team.
Well, I mean, I love it here in Berea. I think it's great. But they have taken a look at this a number of times during different regimes. Butch Davis wanted to
He wanted to take it away from Berea, didn't
Columbus.
He not?
I think they wanted
Columbus.
To go down to Columbus.
That's
I think Ohio Northern was taking a look at it. And all of those kind of places down there, they were taking a look at it. And I remember, talking to Mike Pettine a few weeks ago, and he said he used to enjoy it when the Jets were up at Cortland. Right? They go up to Cortland State.
That's right, upstate New York.
And a lot of teams still like doing it. The Steelers still do it. I believe the Ravens still do it.
Ravens do
it. The Bengals have gone back to Cincinnati.
They have.
And, of course, the Browns once once they got came back here, they did their camp here. But a couple of times they have looked at this, and I'm wondering, maybe we could throw it out to people here this afternoon. Would you like to see them go away from Berea and go out to a more expansive place? Because it's going to be tight here. It always is.
Yep.
And I know they're going to have all kinds of online registration for people to get here. But would you like them to go here? And is this maybe, this family day, going to be a kind of a test balloon to see how somebody like the University of Akron would handle that? Remember the Browns in their past, they trained at Hiram and Kent State, right?
Bowling Green. Yep.
And, of course, out at Lakeland. And they were out there. And I remember people being out there, Mike, and remember with they would picnic. They would go to the morning practice. They would picnic.
Absolutely.
And then come back for the afternoon practice.
Bring out the campers.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks made a couple, three, 4 days of it.
Absolutely.
To be able to see the football team. So, let's throw that out to everybody. Would you like to see a portion, maybe, of the Browns training camp? Or, who knows, maybe the whole camp. Go to, say, as Jim brought up, an Ohio Northern in Ada. Maybe another part of the state.
Right.
Could there be positives and dividends for the Browns fan base for that?
Yeah. I think Chris Palmer, in his second year, might have taken the Browns down to Crew Stadium.
And
they practiced down there against the Indianapolis Colts.
2000.
Yeah, right. They went down there against the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah,
Because it's tight here in Berea. Mm. And, a lot of coaches like to get the team away. And I know they're going to be living in a hotel here, but they like to get the team away and away from everybody. And that's when they feel a lot of that bonding takes place.
Jimmy, now we're talking football now. That's the key.
Yeah.
When you're talking head coach and Jim's right. Loved you referenced the Jets and Rex Ryan taking them to Cortland in upstate New York. Mm-hmm. And I think from a coaching perspective, Jimmy, that's what they're trying to achieve.
Sure.
You get them away from what's going to be the norm during the regular season.
Right.
Get them away from the families and get them away from distractions and start it right then at training camp. And a lot of coaches feel that this is where we really, really are going to put in, formulate, come together with our whole system,
Absolutely.
Our whole philosophy with no distraction. At least that's what coaches feel.
And the no distraction thing, we underline that five times, Michael, because that's what it's really all about.
Well, what coaches want.
Yeah, now you would still get to see them, obviously, once they start the preseason.
Right.
Now, there are people on the other side of this, Michael, that say, hey, listen, I love them being out there in Berea. I go to work, and although they're going to go to more of a morning session.
It's going to be a little more difficult.
Yeah, now last year they went to those afternoon sessions.
Went in the afternoon?
Yeah, he went in the afternoon. So sometimes people could get out here after work and they could come out. And they had good crowds last year. There's no question about it. Now they're expecting big, big crowds. And this place is going to swell come the end of July.
A little different system to be able to be here, too.
So a lot of people really like doing it. I mean, a lot of people, the Giants go to Albany. I mean, the Jets go to Cortland. The Patriots go to Bryant College, down in Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
I used to go to the Patriots camp at, at Curry College, which
was a
tiny little college in Milton, which is right outside the city.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, just a tiny little school there.
Yeah. You saw Gino Cappelletti
and
Babe Parilli. And... nice. I love it.
Jim Nance and Jimmy all those
You're beautiful.
Now, not the
football playing Jim Nance, number 32.
Yeah.
Was he a Boston Patriot?
He was a Boston Patriot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a Boston Patriot. Yeah. All right, Michael, I was shocked. I wasn't shocked, but I mean, the flap over the Mike Pettine thing with the playbook.
Speaking of the Patriots and the Jets.
It's all, Mike Pettine, in an interview said he thought basically that the Patriots had gotten a hold of one of their playbooks when he was with the Jets, that there might have been a Nick Saban connection.
Through Nick Saban. That's what I found so intriguing
about. And then Kevin Bacon.
Kevin
Six
Bacon.
Degrees is Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon, beautiful.
Anyway, here's the thing, Michael, I was wondering. Why is it always the Patriots? I mean, every time this happens, it's always the Patriots. I mean, they never say, hey, the Atlanta Falcons got a hold of our playbook.
Mike Smith got a hold of
my
playbook.
Yeah, Mike Smith got a hold of my playbook. It's always the Patriots.
Yeah, it's never even Jeff Fisher got my playbook.
Yeah, nobody.
Marvin Lewis got a
playbook. Right. Yeah, Andy Reid got it. No, Tom Coughlin, who you would think might be snooping around for playbooks, but it's always the Patriots. What did you think about the whole hullabaloo about
that? You know, Jimmy, first of all, listen, I'm not in any way, shape, or form concerned about Mike Pettine's part in this. I'm really not. Now, as far as your question about the Patriots, I mean, Bill Belichick, everything he does is to be out on the edge.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So I think he thrives on this sort of thing, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I really do. And I'm not, if it's not instituted by Belichick to put his football team out there on the edge, say, this is where we live and this is how we do things. All right, maybe not that, but yeah, you're right. As far as Mike Pettine goes in it, look, again, as you and I know, and we, all right, you can have a playbook and what have you, but listen, this is not game plan specific to every football team that you're going to face.
Right.
That's why I don't think that it's that huge a deal, and I don't mind. Hey, listen, if Pettine wants to get into a little gamesmanship right now,
why not?
And kind of stake his territory and say, I'm coming, everybody.
Yeah.
Me and my football team are coming, and we're not adverse to anything you want to throw our way.
I agree with you. Now, here's the other thing that I was really surprised about, but I noticed this last year. A kinder, more understanding Rex Ryan. Now, Rex Ryan used to leap on
something.
Wow,
I don't know about those words.
But listen, hear me out on this, Michael, because Rex Ryan used to leap on these kind of things.
Sure.
You know, and now we're going to come and we're going to kick your tail, you know, and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to the Super Bowl and we're going to win it, you know. Now, last year when that thing went askew and, you know, he was really, you know, kind of hanging out there in the breeze, he was a kinder, softer Rex Ryan with the media, with his players. I remember those players went crazy for him at the end and had undying support for him and really forced management, general manager, owner, to bring him back. And there was the scene when he notified the team at the, I think it was in their last game of the season.
Week 17.
Against the Dolphins.
That's right.
He notified the team, hey, I'm coming back next year. They're bringing me back. And
it was like
they did win the Super Bowl.
I wonder if that football team got the sense, or maybe, did some of the veteran leaders and some of the guys who really, as you pointed out, Jimmy, had Rex's back, if he is a kinder, gentler guy, number one, I wonder if Woody Johnson had any, the owner of the Jets,
right,
had any, you know, interaction with him during the course, and said, listen, Rex, we need this if you're going to return.
Right.
We need you to incorporate some of this.
Right.
If to your suggestion, whether it's kinder, gentler or not. But you're right. That football team really, really, I mean, publicly came out and endorsed Rex Ryan.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, remember the day they played against the Browns. I mean, he got fired up on the sideline because of a hit by the Browns.
He got real fired up.
On the quarterback out of bounds.
Yep.
And then he got going and they got going. The thing I noticed, though, when he came out and addressed the flap over the playbook was that he kind of endorsed Belichick.
He had Belichick's back.
He had Belichick's back.
Exactly.
Now, that had never happened before. Yeah.
Never.
You know,
no.
That had
no,
never,
never
happened before. And, of course, another topic, Michael. What did Johnny Manziel do this weekend? There are pictures out of him pounding champagne.
Were you assigned to be with him this weekend?
Not this weekend.
No.
I was the weekend before and didn't do a good job, obviously. Pictures of him pounding down champagne out of a bottle during U.S.
Johnny.
World Cup game yesterday.
Well, I mean, listen, you have in the last few weeks, I remember when we had you on the show a few weeks ago, and you and I were having a little fun about it because, you know, since you have very much endorse Johnny Manziel and feel that it's a tremendous opportunity for the Browns to enhance the quarterback position. So, I mean, does any of this in his first four weekends as a Cleveland Brown, since we started with rookie camp,
right,
is this a surprise to you? This is how Johnny rolls.
Yeah, this is not a surprise to me. I didn't like the one last week, and I said it on the show at the end of last week.
With the money?
Well, yeah, and the whole...
The money.
Well,
and
plus,
the,
you could hear him.
I didn't enjoy that.
Now, I was crying after the U.S. World Cup game yesterday because of the finish of the
finish
game.
Finish of the game,
But,
yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, Michael. This comes to an end in July because, you know, I mean, he's a pro now, and if he wants to play... he can't play, if you know what I mean. I mean, you know, he's got to play on the field. This will, I think, and I hope, but I do think, it's going to take care of itself because it's business time at the end of July. And if this, I don't think this guy is conceding anything to Brian Hoyer or anyone else who lines up to take a snap at training camp for the Browns. Mm-hmm. This guy realizes that every snap, he's going to try and beat you and impress that coaching staff to say, why wait? Put me in now.
I'll go with that because I brought this out, Vic and I, last Wednesday, Jimmy. If you, all we have to do is reference back. If you recall from the bowl game win over Baylor, and then leading up to, that was right at the end of the 2013 calendar year, and then leading up to the combine, he was very low profile.
Yeah, very much so.
And then the same thing combine through the draft. George Whitfield making sure that he was he letting it be known how diligent he's been on the football field. So, Jimmy, he can do that. Now, I'm going to assume during that period that it was his group got together and said, let's play this way. Combine 2 months to the draft. Because we, you know, we're putting ourselves now, we're going for our job interviews now.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
So we want to present ourselves in the best light possible. He was, there was nothing from February combine through the month of early May.
You're
not,
absolutely
not
right.
Not one thing.
Yeah.
If not even out, hanging out with his buddies and having a good time at a party. Nothing.
Yeah.
Now, so this is why, though, people think, Jimmy, all right, so now you got drafted. Now you signed the contract.
Right.
Now you know who you're going to be with, and you're going to go back to playtime for a while. See, that's the only – we know he can. He can lock it up and be, you know, very, very one-focusedness on football.
Mm-hmm.
He's shown us that.
Right.
And I do think, Jimmy, that, you know, what you said is – I think when he gets back here, he knows what's at stake.
I
you got to believe he's a smart young man. We know he is.
Yeah.
And I want to believe that this young man wants to be the quarterback for this football team.
Sooner rather than later.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think this
guy... So why are you going to put yourself in jeopardy with hanging out off the field? Last thing with it, you're not going to be able to. I mean, when they go to training camp, you're sequestered.
Right.
You're not going to be able to go hang out. There's going to be nights
that's
where...
That's why one of these college campuses might be a good idea.
Might be a good idea, okay. No, I hear you, and I really do believe that this kid is I don't think he's resigned himself to the fact at all that he's going to sit with a clipboard in his hand all year long.
I don't want him if he's just resigned to that.
I think at one little flick of the wrist, you know, he's going to flip that helmet on and come trotting out on the field and be Johnny Manziel. And I think to do that, I mean, he's got to learn the game. I mean, this is a new game that he's going to play. It's a totally new game.
Let's put what Jim just said, please put about 8 exclamation points behind that. But because that's the whole crux of this. This is not going to be the college game. Whether Kevin Sumlin's playbook
is brilliant,
whether it was fabulously loaded, or as some suggest, there was no playbook.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much Johnny just creating and ad-libbing and saying, all right, we got a couple of variations. You know, we've heard all that. But this whole thing is going to be a completely new world against NFL defenses.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we said, Joe Bitonio is signed, 4-year deal. Good for him. Good for them. I hope that ankle's okay, Michael.
High ankle that caused him to miss
really
the
pretty
mandatory
much.
Minicamp. I don't think he participated.
No, he didn't do anything
at all.
No. He went off in an OTA where
he
the
did.
Rookies were at.
That's right.
And then the minicamp, you know, he was always on the side and go back
wow,
inside.
Wow, do I like him, Jimmy.
Yeah, and,
wow,
and here's the key.
Do I like him.
You go down this, Michael. The kid McFadden last year. You know, he got tweaked early. He lost all of training camp, and then he was lost.
And made no impact whatsoever.
Yeah. Mingo has that injury in the Lions game. He loses a couple of weeks.
That's right.
And then
completely behind it.
Absolutely.
Didn't
That's
see
right.
the field a lot early.
Now, this guy, they expect to play and start.
He's plugged in between Mack and Thomas on the left
go.
Side of the O-line.
Yeah. And, I mean, if he's going to be there, you just cannot lose time. I don't care who you are. You can't lose any time.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right, we're just getting started here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here on ESPN 850. WKNR, Michael Red Guy, Jim Donovan with you. And we'll be back with more of the show right after we take a timeout.